You're listening to the WP Tonic, WordPress and Tech, focused on building a successful business in WordPress aimed at the WordPress professional and power user. Join Jonathan Denwood and Kurt Von Annen as your host and co-host as we bring you great discussions from around the globe.
Welcome back, folks, to the WP Tonic this month in WordPress and Tech. It's our monthly roundtable show where I have a regular panel, plus I normally get one or two guests to join us. This is probably going to be one of the more interesting and probably one of the most, I think this period in WordPress, is when it's looked back, is going to be a major reflection point in the history of WordPress. So I'm going to let the guests introduce themselves. Oh, first of all, we're going to be talking about Matt Wenoex, what he did at WordCamp US and what he has done since with WP Engine. We're going to be talking about Etch, and we have Kevin with us. We're going to be talking about Mark Zuckerberg saying that social media has no effect on the mental health of people, and much more. We probably won't be able to cover most of the stories because we've got some major stories that can probably take a fair bit of the time off the panel. Should be a great show. I'm going to let our guests introduce themselves and then the regular panel. First of all, let's start with Kevin. Kevin, would you like to quickly introduce yourself to the listeners and viewers?
Sure. Kevin Geary, WordPress educator and creator of automatic CSS frames, and now Etch.
Yep. I've got Mark. I'm not going to pronounce his second name because I...
Do it.
No, I'm not going to do it. Mark, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, what's up? Thank you guys for having me. It's Mark Szymanski. I'm a YouTuber, content creator. I've owned an agency since 2018. You can find all my links and everything like that for all the stuff that I'm doing at mjs.bio.
Yeah.
The easiest name in the world.
What an experience to go to your first word.
Szymanski. How hard is it? Come on.
I'm just used to some idiot.
Szymanski.
So I'll be
the Z is silent.
I'm just an idiot. Heather, would you like to introduce yourself? You're muted, Heather.
Yep. Hi, I am Heather Wild-Renzi. I am the CTO of The Difference Consulting and also known as the Unicorn Whisperer.
And I've got the only Spencer Forum. Spencer, would you like to introduce yourself?
I just want to say, can we all just get along?
Yes. Yes.
We'll see you at WP Launchify. But today I'm a satirist and a reporter. I do not have any first-person knowledge that would cause me to be called in as a witness. I cannot travel.
Any letters that you want
and
to send.
And anybody who would call a trial attorney as a witness deserves what they get. Just letting the attorneys know in advance.
Yeah, automatic or WP Engine. Any letters you want to send, just send them to Spencer. Don't send them to me.
I wish Jason was here.
My money's outside the US. There's no point in suing him because almost all my assets are outside the USA. There's no point in you coming for me. I've made it extremely difficult for any of you fuckers to sue me, so there's no point. Kurt, purposely, I've set things up, folks, that way. Kurt, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. Kurt Von Annen, own a company called Mañana No Mas. We work largely with membership and learning websites, and I work directly with Jonathan at WP Tonic and what I consider the great folks at Lifter LMS.
Right, let's start off with the hand grenade story. Matt Wenoex and his pronouncement that WP Engine was cancer, and then what kicked off afterwards. So I'm going to start with Heather, actually. So Heather, do you think he got bald? Do you think the bald of automatic, do you think Matt got the nod and the wink from the bald to go after WP Engine? Obviously, the pronouncements about the crimes of WP Engine are nonsense. But obviously, do you think there was a discussion at board level about what he planned to do, or do you think he just did it? He just got fed up with WP Engine, basically.
I mean, I can't say whether or not he did speak to the board. I mean, in general, it's a good idea to give the board a heads up on what you're going to do in this kind of thing.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but, you know, he's got some of the, my understanding is that his equity in Automatic is below 10%. But my understanding is he's got golden shares set up similar to Facebook. But he has, you know, he has taken almost $1 billion in investment.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know how that would play into it. But I mean, I think that whether or not he, I mean, equity aside, like he may have wanted to just come out with a manifesto here. And if he has this idea that he wanted to make a name for himself by designing like this ecosystem thinking manifesto, and say, hey, this is people are calling things open source and they aren't really, you should support companies that like do one thing rather than another. I mean, he is known for somebody that says things that encourage thought. Like, so he might have done this whole thing with or without the board's approval, or just because he felt that he wanted to get people thinking about this. And that could be the whole thing. But I mean, it is true that, I mean, there are some true things that he has said in here to get people thinking. However, the way that he went about this is very
What do you think WP Engine going to do? Because they're owned by private equity now, and the people that actually own WP Engine, they're not, you know, it's just business, isn't it? So they're just going to, do you think they're just going to bend the knee because they're just going to do the math and they just think it's cheaper to pay off Matt rather than, or do you think they can't and they're going to have to confront him?
Who knows? We'll have to see.
So, Kevin, what do you think WP Engine, you know, obviously they're owned by private equity. What makes me laugh about Matt is that some of the most sophisticated private equity investors have invested in his own company. One of them is Outback Global. I call them the Greeks. I actually met the founder of that particular fund about 5 years ago. I'm not going to pronounce his name either because he's a sharp dude, and they've got BlackRock, and obviously they've got Salesforce as well that invested with Matt. So I know he doesn't like private equity, but he's taken enough private equity money, hasn't he?
He has. I'll just be honest. I don't. And maybe, you know, I was hoping Spencer maybe would give us some insight. Like, what is the, because I haven't really heard any legal arguments. I'll just be honest. Like, when I'm looking at it, it's kind of like he's singling out WP Engine and he's saying, like I ask questions. Are they forced to contribute? No. Okay. Have they contributed? Yes. It's just not enough. And then, so he's essentially bringing this whole, what is now a legal battle against them, but I haven't heard any legal arguments yet. And those legal arguments certainly are not being applied to any other companies at the current time who are doing almost exactly what WP Engine is doing and what Automatic themselves do. So Spencer.
Yeah, the question I was going
to ask. I'm a house counsel to the show.
I know this is for entertainment purposes only, Spencer, but what is the legal argument?
I was going to ask Spencer. Obviously, there are rumors or people are saying that their IP, or they're trying to, I didn't know they could do this, Spencer. You would have a better, they're trying to control the term WP, the term manage WordPress hosting, and another term. Can they actually attempt to do that? Or if they can, do you think they're going to get anywhere?
First of all, if anybody has been injured in a WordPress-related accident, you can call me at 1-800-9-MILLION. Other than that, here's the thing. Remember last time we got together, there was some, I think it was Tom and a couple of folks, had a very intelligent opinion about like the business liability of saying stuff in public, right? When you get into the guts of the legal surgery, there has to have been either a crime committed by breaking a law or a statute, or there has to have been a tort, which is something you do against somebody civilly. They can seek remedies from you. And as it is right now, there's nothing that WP Engine has done that is outside of the previously existed, like, norms, culture, stated the copyright limitations is over. In fact, I've got a lot of WP this and that laying around. WP Launchify and WP Call Spence. WP Let's Have Fun.
Well, my own company, WP Tonic. You can. It's just ridiculous, so, isn't it?
But here's the thing. Let's break down the legal structure of this purely hypothetical for educational purposes conversation. One, you have companies in an ecosystem where the rules were laid out that gave some legal precedent to, if you're naughty and you confuse people about WordPress, we can come after you for the use of WordPress. There's plenty of precedent of that where somebody can say WP Launchify is a WordPress expert, but you can't say WP Launchify WordPress because if you put it in the name, that's confusing. So that's in that original thing before it was modified. Number two, there can't be any legal liability for past actions that have been condoned all these years. That's what's called ratification. So he can't just wake up on the wrong side of the bed and go, I'm sorry, you built a $100 million company doing all these things for, well, 15 years or so. And today I decided I don't like it. Because so, that,
can I just ask you a quick question? So you cleared that up, but do you think in the end WP Tonic are just going to pay him off? Or do you think...
No. WP Engine, you mean?
WP Tonic is paying up.
Yeah, I'm taking it off.
I'm in my like,
I've had the pop with his nonsense for the past 10 years, Mark.
Too many WPs.
The maniac's nonsense for over 10 years.
Legal defense on. No. So here's the third part of it. I guess. I mean, don't stick your hand in the lion's cage. Okay, Matt. I cannot speak to any of his behavior now because he has clearly taken a step that has gone beyond all of the unusual behavior. That's the way I'll say it.
Like I said to you, do you think he had a discussion with the board of Ultimate?
No, I think what has happened. This is my opinion. This is for journalistic purposes. I think he has exemplified this behavior in the past and always towed the line, whether he's having some personal issues or something influenced him. I don't think it's a board. I think his behavior is exemplary of somebody who is either looking to other millionaire, billionaire behaviors and thinking that would be cool, or he's just cracked under the pressure that, in my opinion, as
he took a 3-month sabbatical. I think he's
Let me get this thought out. If you look at his behavior and all the years we've been talking about it, you could see a pattern like that. The pressure, the geological pressure is turning this stuff into oil. He has done something now which anybody on a legal standpoint would advise him is not really good for business, because his behavior in this case has done what? Number one, it has awoken a sleepy giant, an equity firm with $100 million asset, among other things, that has all the time, all the money in the world. Number two, he didn't go after them for anything they actually broke the law on. He just called them a cancer and then specifically excluded them, including to the detriment. Here's a big one, folks. Can you say the magic words class action? Because he shut them off from accessing stuff, which means all the agencies that relied upon WP Engine now have this whole chain of damages that like trailing behind him. Number three, he went in and changed all of the public records that are on GitHub with versioning in public. Like, he literally I'm going to change this law after the traffic violation happened and make it so that all of this stuff does not bode well for somebody who's being advised.
Mr. Open Source doesn't act very open source.
But here's the last most important thing. This is it. I mean, I'm not going to speak to Matt on a personal level, but as the conversation that I brought up a million times before and have decided to act on in my own way, I think that many of us have been frustrated by the uncertainty, unclarity of Matt's position in the ecosystem insofar as the double standards of his .com and his financial interests and the equity investors. For so many years, we've been bitching and moaning about, like, which is it? Are you in the community, you're running it, or are you doing the .com? Are you working for the guys that put your money up, or are you working for the community? All these discrepancies have now come to a head with this, because there's no possible way that he can restore himself into a position of being like,
yeah. So Kevin, I don't know. I've been in a very difficult position, Kevin, for over a year, because some of the most virulent public critics of Matt are a group of people that I utterly despise. I mean, I don't actually dislike many people, but group that were really gunning for Matt, I absolutely despise, Kevin, with a passion, because they have maligned me, and if I had the money, I would sue them.
Not a bit.
Pardon?
As your attorney who is managing your 35-cent legal fund, I caution you to change your tone and not be talking about people you don't like.
I'm not going to name them.
I'm telling you, as your attorney for past legal representation of these conversations, change the focus not on the people, because you will end up, trust me.
Yeah, but I'm just, I've been in, thank you for that advice, Spidey. I've been in a difficult spot, because I don't actually dislike Matt. He's done me no personal injury, Kevin. He's done me no harm. Yeah. I just wanted him to change his ways a little bit. But he ain't, is he? He ain't going to change his ways at all. He's actually getting worse and worse and worse. So what? It's great material for this podcast. I don't think it's that great for WordPress in general. What do you reckon, Kevin?
I mean, looking at Twitter, it seems terrible for WordPress, right? What I've said is, at best, people are confused as to what's going on. And at worst, they're against Matt, because it seems from the outside as just, you know, he's on a rampage against WP Engine, essentially, right? The people who seem to be supporting Matt all work for Automattic. And so I haven't really seen much outside support beyond that. To answer the thing about the board and everything else, the lawyers, okay, I have to assume that before you take such an action, you've already gotten support from the board. Like, I just have to assume that. I would assume that.
I would hold so, wouldn't you? It's a play. The money's in the hosting, isn't it? So I would imagine it's a play, don't you?
Yeah, there's too much at stake, okay? And then on the lawyer side of things, I would have to assume, because there's so much at stake and this is so big, that you have already consulted with what he calls, this is his own words, I believe, on the Twitter Spaces thing, you know, the best lawyers in the country. And so that's why I was asking Spencer, like, what is the lead? They have to have a legal argument that they haven't communicated yet, that they haven't outlined yet. He's saying, I've got lawyers that have gone to the Supreme Court. Like,
that's what people say when they do stupid things. Not him, but I'm saying people.
Okay.
When they do stupid things and they get caught on video as, like, you know, Boomer's Gone Wild and stuff. Like, they get out of their truck and then they get punched out because they're stupid. It's an impetuous act by
somebody. It's a bit like being Mark Robinson, a guy on the porn site to make comments, isn't it?
What I'm saying is, Kevin, your thought is actually spot on. But the board, as I understand it, is only like, there's only two people who can even override him, and they have to both act and you unilaterally. Can you imagine taking this scenario to any logical people who have a financial stake and saying, hey, what do you think about this? Is this a good idea? This isn't this is like Elon Musk buying Twitter for $40 billion and thinking it was a joke and then getting caught with having to buy it. That's what it is. And every time
I'm saying to you, I have no close knowledge, but when you got investors like Event Global, these, I call them the Greeks. These aren't idiots. These are sharp cookies. These are big white sharks, Kevin. These are people that you don't mess around with. Well, if you do, good luck to you. That's what I've got to say. He must have got the nod and wink from him, mustn't he, Kevin? I would have thought. But Spencer, it's always, I agree with Spencer. He's bonkers enough just to do it. He's impetuous enough just to get fed up and just go for it.
Listen, Kevin's got a good experience with this because I know I follow him and we're like brothers from another mother. Is that like people are always going to troll because they've just lost their mind. And then when you take the scope of all the people's comments and you ask the trolls to validate, why do you feel this way? Just tell me one thing factual. You can whittle them down to like nothing other than they just had a bad day, woke up on the wrong side of the bed. And the more people have money and power and a lack of understanding of what to do with it, the more that magnifies this problem in their personality. Like the guy who drives a truck wakes up every morning, go, all I got to do is get in that truck, drive for 8 hours, come home, have a beer, kiss my kids, and go to bed. Person with $1 billion and not any real idea what to do with it starts looking for problems. And I see that as what's going on.
So Mark, it's your first WordCamp US. You were buying into the Kulak. You're sharing your photos of your meal at Portland Airport and your food, and you're buying into, we're all WordPress, we're all a community, and you're buying into it, and then whack, the reality of the situation just explodes in front of you, young Mark. Yeah. So what was it like to be sucked into the Kulak and then the reality of the situation just whacks you in the face, Mark?
Yeah. I mean, WordCamp was great. I was hanging out with Kevin. I was hanging out with everyone. It was a really good time. Honestly, the people were really good. I mean, I talked about it ad nauseum yesterday, but I really do love the community.
I did enjoy your photos of the food you were consuming, Mark.
I appreciate that. Yeah, it's a Gen Z-ish thing. I don't know. I was trying to get the kids involved.
Kevin wouldn't share any photos, you know.
I should have snapped some pictures when he was eating.
He was too engrossed in deal making.
Kids today in your word camps. That's my day.
That's it. Yeah.
Did you, by the way, Mark, did you enjoy Portland? Because I don't think I saw you in Maryland. Were you in Maryland before?
No, I was like.
Did you enjoy Portland? Like, or was it difficult? Because I heard various comments.
I think it was better than expected.
I see that your master Batman has been keeping a low profile, young Robin.
Yeah. I don't know if he's still
well out of this nonsense.
I think he had a rough go of it, you know, travel and everything like that. He's kind of older, you know. He's still a little run down.
I'm up for it, you know.
He's going to come back with a vengeance, though.
You
for
think
sure.
so?
100%. Yeah.
Yeah, but he's used to Matt's madness. I'm used to it. You know, was you buying into the Kulak and then the reality of the situation just whacks you in the face?
The timing was interesting. I mean, we were busy, you know, me and Kevin and the boys were golfing. We were doing all sorts of stuff. And then
Kevin's busy with his deal making.
It's true. And then, but during that week, Matt like released that post and then he just read it on stage as he was like, you know, playing jazz.
That's great.
So that was a little weird.
It encourages people to be a sponsor of it, doesn't it? You know, you whack down over 200,000, maybe a quarter of a million on the event, and you're at the end of it, you know, you're called cancer. It's just fantastic, isn't it, Mark?
It was interesting.
That's what sponsors are looking for, isn't it? You know, to be called cancer, isn't it, Mark?
But anyway. Yeah, I wouldn't want to be called cancer now.
No, there we go. So, Kurt, what do you, before we go for our break and we move on, what do you, what did you think of this sorry affair?
You know, I didn't go to Portland. Unlike Mr. Zemanski, I stayed home. And
he went.
And I stayed home. That's what I said. And then
he went to it.
I saw the pictures from the golf course with Mr. Geary, and I thought, oh my gosh, I missed out. I could have been there.
It's a good place for your deal, mate. It's a good place to do your deal making, isn't it?
I could have seen the peak view of Etch before the show last night. But hey, the more I read about this and the more I see the cease and desist letters from both sides, I've kind of come
to got my wall here with my two letters, actually. I treat them as trophies, Kevin, actually.
As trophies.
I treat them as trophies, actually. I'm actually pissing people off.
I've come to see Matt and WP Engine as being these two giant economic monoliths that are having a disagreement. And I immediately said, oh my gosh, it's the Democrats and the Republicans. They're going to argue over everything. And at the end of the day, us minions are still allowed to drive on the highway. Not a whole lot is going to change for us. We just see these people arguing. They're having their, whatever they're doing for show and banter.
I thought it was really in poor taste for Matt to publish his charitable contributions. I got to say, I thought that was, you know, if you want to, I haven't got anything like his money, but I've given thousands to Ukrainian causes. But I don't publicize what I give to charity. I really thought that was distasteful myself, but that's my opinion, you know.
I don't know. That part, you know, you see companies do it all the time, right? You go to Walmart and Walmart says, you know, we gave $93 million last year to...
Yeah, they need to. They're all going to hell, in my opinion.
Where I got with it was I was in another group call this morning and people were mourning like this was some kind of a death of a friend. And I was like, you know, everything still works. Everything, you know, they can't take the software away from the end user. And if they shut down the repository, you can still download and upload plugins manually. This is not a, I was like, I think it's a much ado about nothing and it's going to blow over somehow, some way, and someone's going to make a deal in a back room.
The point I was trying to make is that you've got two organizations that are totally invested by private equity and venture capital. Both sides have got some of the most sophisticated investors in international global investment. And they're not emotional. These people are just big white sharks. You know, they have to, they just look at the figures and they make a assessment on the financial. There's no emotion in it. It's just totally driven by money, basically.
I got to say, if I was on the board at WP Engine and I was just a major sponsor of their national event and at that event witnessed that happen, I would get emotional. I thought that was some...
Well, if I actually owned... I know it's been difficult because Jason, he's not a close friend, but he is a personal friend. But I try and keep, but he's no longer, he sold most of his, he hasn't told me anything. I haven't asked him because it's not none of my business, but he sold most of it. But if I was the owner, I'd confront him. If he had done that to me, I'd confront him publicly and we'd have a man to man session. I would confront him if he'd done that to me. But it's not. It's owned by a venture private equity. It's like I say, it's just money, isn't it?
You know, just money.
Just money, basically. We're going to go for... Oh, Kevin, he's just looking. He's giving me that look, Kevin. I thought you weren't going to come on this, actually, Kevin. I thought you were going to bail. So, but you get full. You're up for it, aren't you, Kevin? You don't care, do you, Kevin? No, he doesn't care. You've seen it all, haven't you, Kevin? So we're going to go for our break, and we'll be coming back to discuss some other stories. We'll be back in a few moments, folks.
Hi there, e-commerce store owner. At Omnisend, we help more than 100,000 e-commerce customers just like you sell their products. We're an all-in-one email and SMS marketing platform that helps you reach your customers, grow your audience, and increase sales. In fact, our customers have seen incredible results with Omnisend, averaging $72 in revenue for every single dollar spent. And if you ever have a question, our award-winning customer support team is available 24/7 every single day. That's one of the reasons we have more than 6,000 glowing reviews and ratings all across the web. So get started with Omnisend today and start growing your business with better email and SMS marketing.
Tired of hosting providers that can't handle high traffic loads? Convessio is here to help. Our platform can handle any amount of traffic, all without slowdown or crashing. With immediate Slack support, performance optimization, and a team that thrives on resolving technical challenges, your e-commerce business is in safe hands. Learn more about Convessio at convessio.com.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back. I didn't do my sponsor's initial intro. I've got too wanted to get into it too quick, folks. So let's do the intro. We've got some fantastic offers from our major sponsors, plus a curated list of the best WordPress plugins and services from WordPress. It's a fantastic list of resources. You can get all these free goodies. I know you WordPress professionals, you love your free, don't you? You hungry WordPress professionals, no private equity investment for you. So to get all these goodies, all you have to do is go over to wp-tonic.com/deals. wp-tonic.com/deals, and you'll find all the goodies there. What more could you ask for? Probably a lot more, especially from WP Engine, but there we go. It's that kind of sarcasm, my beloved tribe, that's got me into a lot of trouble, but I don't care. On we go, on to the next story. So, another billionaire, Mark Zuckerberg, he says there's no casual connection between social media and mental health, none at all. So I'm going to start with Heather again. So these insightful words from Mark Zuckerberg, what do you reckon? You know, what do you reckon of this insight?
I can't think of a positive word to say. I mean, I've said this before, like in Silicon Valley, it is well known that adults do not give their children devices that that connect to the internet. Like they have them in schools, they have technology to like help them expand their minds and things. However, it's very controlled. So if you're not giving your children, while their minds are impressionable, access to social media, then obviously you know that it can be detrimental to, like, at least.
Can you give me some insight, Heather? How does this guy actually sleep at night?
Because he doesn't use social media. I have this conversation with my husband all the time. That the reason that he doesn't sleep very well is because he's doom scrolling like before bed. I have to constantly remind him that he should be reading.
Give him elbow, do you? Get off that bloody shit, will you?
I'm not a nag, but I'm always like, hey, you're supposed to be reading a book, a real book, to an actual book. So why not? I mean, even if it's on a Kindle or something, but like not reading the internet, not doing this. So anyway, yeah, no, I mean, it's do as I say, not as I do with him. Like, I think he might even have this like persona that's programmed into him just to like when he's doing these things and doesn't even realize that he's put on the public Mark Zuckerberg, and it's a completely different persona than what he's at home with his kids, where he's not letting them on the internet at all.
Right. So what do you reckon, Kurt? You know, what do you reckon?
Some of the most clear moments in my adult existence over the last decade have been when I have factory data reset this phone and only let it be a phone and a text device. And I take off all notifications and all BS. And then over time, I travel for work, or I go to a WordCamp, or I do whatever. Next thing you know, Twitter's back in. And then my wife is saying, oh, I've been sending you.
Oh, you want to keep off that Twitter, do you? No good that.
So then I put in Facebook and Messenger, and then next thing you know, this thing turns into a little devil box, and it gives me anxiety.
You're a devil audit, Kurt.
It gives me anxiety. So you are reminding me that once again, it is time to factory data reset my phone and have it do just phone.
Just look at what it's done. Look at Twitter. What's Twitter done to the WordPress community? Just look at, you know, just look at that. They lost their marbles a long time ago. They just salivate at any drama that comes their way. I've supplied enough. So, Kevin.
To go back, but no, your original question was about for youth and kids, right?
Yeah.
I'm
the kids. They don't matter.
My son is 16. My daughter's 20. My 20-year-old acts like this Instagram thing is an appendage of her own body. Like, it is absolutely damaging. It is absolutely negative. I can't think of too many positives that come from it. And we say that connection, we're connected to so many people, but we're not. We're not genuinely connected to anybody.
So, Kevin.
Oh, wait, I want to interrupt for a second. And they'll say, you're killing me, Dad, if you take it away. And the thing is, you are. You really are, because it's not just social suicide. They kill themselves today. Like, they will commit suicide if they are not on these things, because they're not connected to their friends, and then they it's a mental health problem. So anyway.
Kevin, I go for my walks. I'm a bit of a health freak. I roam Carson City, listening early in the morning and evening, Kevin, listening to my audio books and my podcast, Kevin. And in the morning, there's a high school on my route, Kevin. And there's loads of these 16 to 18-year-olds, and they all look like miserable as sin. They look absolute miserable. And they all walk into me. I can't tell you how many have just walked straight into me because they're on these fucking phones all the fucking time, Kevin. They've got a phone planted in front of their face. Get off that phone, Mark. Stop that, Mark. You're supposed to be concentrated, Mark. What do you reckon, Kevin?
It's reality in today's day and age. I think you have kids that have been given devices, and the device in a lot of ways has been used to raise them almost. It's like, hey, mom's got stuff to do. Dad's got stuff to do. Here's an iPad. Here's a thing. And then they're just on it. They're not moderated, and they're not taught to moderate themselves. And it is a very dopamine heavy kind of activity. And so if they're not taught to regulate, or they're not regulated by the parents, then they are just going to treat it as like an extension of their brain, you know, and their body. And they're going to have it everywhere.
I've never had that problem, Kevin, because I have no brains.
Oh, well.
There we go.
No comment. As far as like social media goes, I do think that there's a lot of, I think we forget a lot of the benefits of it because some of the negatives are very obvious and heavy. But there are a lot of benefits of it. I mean, we do online business, and like our businesses rely on connecting with people virtually and having these conversations online and using these devices. But we have to be able to get off them at the end of the day. We have to go out and walk. We have to go do activities that are out.
I think you're making some great points there, Kevin. You know, when I really lost all patience with Mark and his team, it was a couple of years ago when it came out that they knew that their platform was affecting the mental health of girls, and they knew they had the actual data that it was increasing the suicide rate in that particular group of users, and they just didn't fucking care, Kevin. And I'm a merciless capitalist, Kevin. I love the green, and I'm no saint. But I wouldn't, you know, I have no idea how these fuckers live with themselves, Kevin.
Well, it depends on, you know, what specific study are you pointing to, or what specific action have they taken? The algorithm is designed to, if you take TikTok, for example, the algorithm is designed to feed you more of the things that you're interested in based on what you're already looking at. And then it can easily become an echo chamber kind of thing. If we're talking about damage to society, a lot of what social media does, by the way, that promotes, that comes from society itself, comes from media. And if you look at media, what media does every single day of our life is find all of the negative stuff that they can possibly find and report on it ad nauseum over and over. And there's so much of it that it's like you can't even, we're not even talking about, it could be one of the biggest negative events of history.
Well, your advertisers and sponsors, they don't want that, don't they?
Well, I don't know. I think that to me, I would rather go after not social media. I'd rather just go after media in general. Like they've done a tremendous amount of irreparable damage. And all of that stuff gets amplified on social media, but it has a source that's not social media. Zuckerberg is not producing all of these negative stories, right? His algorithm is just feeding them to people. But if
he's too busy carrying the green, isn't he, Kevin?
Yeah, I don't know. I would. Well, so are the media companies. I would say look at the source of where these stories are coming from.
All right. Any thoughts, Spencer?
I think we're seeing the end in the next couple of years, and this is a positive thing. Don't take me wrong. We're seeing the end of end-stage capitalism and the post-World War II fairy tale of a world that's, you know, bipolar and everything is run on face value. What we're seeing is an implosion of business personalities, of capitalistic metaphors that they don't serve us anymore, right? We have 8 billion people and everybody can talk to each other. We've grown up, at least me, because I'm old as hell, like in a world where the pretend world was invented after World War II. You know, it's like superpower. Everybody else is on one side or the other, and all the capitalism runs through this forward-facing thing. But when you look under the blanket, for years, you've seen how really things happen, whether it's WordPress capitalists or P. Diddy or anything. It's all not the same as people see on the front end. So what we're seeing is an unraveling, which to me is a good thing. It's like in The Wizard of Oz when you pull back the curtain and there's a little dude. Finally, can we talk about a world where there's equity and there's opportunity and people don't have to spend their days like trying to hoard all the resources, because that's getting us nowhere. And I'm for one in favor of it. So good on this. I mean, Kevin is 100% right, but the idea is still like, Zuckerberg, God bless him that he changed his haircut and he's feeling really groovy, but I would love to see him actually, because it isn't going to happen, give all this away to schools for free and do it all for altruistic. I would love to see him literally say, I have enough and I'm going to spend every moment giving away everything I do, because the only people I've ever seen do that are like Jimmy Wales or, you know, I don't know, the Craigslist, Craig Niemark. I mean, you know, there's people who like, you know, aren't really spending the money on themselves. But like, this is just another repeat. And it's the last gasp of end-stage capitalism. Once the AI kicks in, we're really in for a rough ride if we don't know who's producing this stuff. Because we have no faith in our leaders, no faith in our corporate governance. We have no faith in where money is spent and given away to billionaires and all their shareholders, but nothing in the basic infrastructure is taken care of, like Chicago or Portland or whatever. So we got to fix that shit first. And it's not going to come without a little struggle, let's be honest. All good things come from.
Yeah. On we go. because I want to cover this next story. So we got Kevin with us. He did a successful launch of his proposed Edge product on WordPress. Hopefully, obviously you knew better than us because you didn't say WPH, did you, Kevin? You just called it Edge, haven't you? And he got a little bit of flack, and there's one particular piece on WP Biz. I thought it was a bit rough on you, Kevin. You know, I just thought you did a really fantastic Kickstarter, and, you know, good luck to you. I was thinking about giving you some money, but I've been splashing out left, right and centre. My colleague here, Kirk, he's given you some money, actually. He gave you some money. So why do you think you got some flack? You know, I personally thought that you needed to provide a deck. I was expecting you to provide a bit more for my taste, but I don't hold it against you. I wish I was as good a marketer as you were, Kevin. I don't know who mentored you and you got your lessons from, but my God, you're a better marketer than I am. So why do you think you got a bit of flack, Kevin, or do you think it's just WordPress in general, really?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's one of the reasons I wanted to come on. I mean, I've heard the argument.
You had to put all up with the rest of the show just for this moment, Kevin.
It's okay. Here's the thing. Like, if they listen to the presentation was very specific in saying, we build software with early adopters, right? We don't build software just from the opinions of our team. And if you want software to be successful and you want people to feel like it was built for them, you have to build it with them. That's the only way to do it. Otherwise, you're just making a bunch of assumptions. And so when people say, we need a deck, well, a deck of what? When we're going to build it with people, right? And that's our principle. We can't also then say, but look at all this work we did without you. And then where's the value in that, right? We're already way further along than we should be without anybody's participation, right? So what we give is the vision and we give the priorities and we give the principles of the project. And we're giving also an opportunity for people to get something, an unlimited lifetime license that nobody else can get in exchange for the risk of saying, okay, yes, I realize this hasn't been built yet, but I buy into the principles. I buy into the vision of the project. And I also buy into the participation side. I want to be a participant in this process of building. And so there's only one way to do that. You can't make a whole bunch of decisions and present those decisions to people with a deck or a prototype or whatever else it is, and then say, but we really, really believe in building this with you. We just, you know, we've done all this without you up to this point. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I see where you're coming. I see where you're coming from, Kevin, and you might be, I don't actually buy into it completely, Kevin. I'm sorry, but
Your option then, Jonathan, is to design software based on your own personal opinions and then show that to people and ask them to buy into it, which
that's
not how we do it.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from, Kevin. I'm not saying you're wrong. I don't know, Kevin. I'm just saying it's a taste thing. It's not a Kevin is wrong. It's just a taste thing. I just think there's a slightly middle road where you do actually produce something initially, but you also have this community contribution. So I'm not saying I'm just saying my taste.
Here's the other angle. Okay, there's an automatic, anybody that's built software before, there's an automatic invalidity to what you're showing somebody ahead of time. And you could put decks together, you can put beautiful things together, and you can sell. That's actually, I would say, more invalid than not showing them anything, because those things are that they're buying into are going to radically change by the time this thing gets to production. It's not going to look anything like what they bought into that you showed them initially, right? So we're being more honest and saying there isn't any.
Well, I thought it was getting a bit mean because I don't think you were misleading anybody. I think you. So, Spencer, what do you reckon? No, Kevin's fantastic. He could sell snow to Eskimos. And I mean that as a compliment. I don't mean that despite. I wish I had that skill, Kevin.
He doesn't look too beat up from it.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't really care what I say. So he's counting the money. So. Hey,
listen, yeah. Kevin doesn't need me to say this, but I'll say it for you since I'm not sure why there's even any uncertainty. Here's the thing. Like, the best products in the world, and I can say my best products as well, but like anybody who's a marketer from little kid, best products in the world are imaginary when you sell them. That's the whole point. Like, the best things I've ever created were me getting on a video. I mean, you could go back to, I used to play chess with him. Now I don't see him because he's rich, but Noah Kagan. Like, Noah famously will talk about, like, him and his team, his pal Meta, Mejor, I can't remember his first name, but his partner in Absurd. They used to just sit down, have a drink, and, like, invent a product, tell people about it, give me your money. If enough people give you the money, guess what? You make the product. And everything else that Kevin said, because as a developer, I've seen this. All of my best features of any software I've created or any systems I've created have all come from somebody says, hey, Spence, can you do this with this thing? Because I wish it would happen. Until you've got it in the hands of real people, you can't invent those ideas yourself. Literally, you have to say, do you believe in me? Look at this face. Do you trust this face? If you do, give me your money.
I've said to Kirk.
You know, give me money back.
I got every confidence that Kevin will make a honest attempt to build, which and his team will make an honest attempt.
I have no worries about that.
Like I said to Kevin, it was just a kind of taste thing.
Hold on, the troll thing. Let me just say, the troll thing. Off you go again, Spence. Because you cut me off and I've known you for 20 years and it's like, for God's sake, you know better.
I've got to control you. You would take over the whole show.
I sat here for 25 minutes. I didn't say a freaking word. You asked me a question. Let me finish my answer. The troll thing. Now, we were talking about people who have their opinions of this and that, whatever. We talked about how bad behavior amplifies. We are evolving out of the promises that were false from social media, that when people are given the opportunity to just kvetch, which is Yiddish for complain for no good reason, that they're going to act with diligence and dignity. They do not. They never have. They never will. And for 20 years, they've been selling us this bullshit at Meta and otherwise, like this and push this and this. And what we've seen is only in networks where people are forced to stand behind what they say at the possibility of being stoned by other people in the town, do they stop being trolls under the bridge. And this is why Kevin does. I mean, Kevin doesn't need any of this from me, but I would do the same thing as Kevin. I listened to these people bitching and moaning and analyzing him. What did he eat for breakfast? And I'm like, shut the F up, because none of you are doing what I'm doing. If you want to give me your money, give me your money and you can look at this face. I'm promising to give you your money back. But if Kevin said, get on my train now because it's leaving the station and you're, Kevin's well known, never going backwards.
Yeah. I didn't engage in any of that bitching. In general, I don't engage on bitching online.
I mean, people are kvetching.
Yeah, I know. Obviously it was between, I forget, about 500 to maybe slightly under 1,000. I can't remember, Kevin. These weren't accredited investors, but it was small amounts, Heather. It was a kind of Kickstarter without going through a kind of formal Kickstarter platform and going through the vetting process. I had no problem with it, but is there any kind of criticism? Because obviously it's got enormous benefits for Kevin because he doesn't have to give any equity in the business. If he was going to the accredited route, they would ask equity from him, so he avoids that. Is there any problem about going the non-accredited route, really, morally?
I just see this as, I mean, he's pre-selling something, just like Oasis pre-sold their tickets to their concert, and I was right up in line with buying them. Like, I got tickets to Oasis, yay! So no, I mean, it's, I don't see this as like raising money this way by pre-sales is fine for a company. The problem that people have with it is, like with Kickstarter and others, if like you've used the money for building the product and then the product doesn't get delivered, which happens more often with hardware products, because like you actually have to spend that money on something. Now, I mean, if Kevin has this money that he could give back because nothing comes of it, great. But
well, I don't think he's going to give it back. I think he's going to make an honest attempt
But I
don't think you're going to get your money back. Unlike others, Jonathan, I just say in front of the person rather than trying to assassinate him.
Saying that, Jonathan, let her finish.
So, like, I've started a business in the past where I had to like raise money from people, and then, I mean, this was like a hardware business, and then like we were like a couple million dollars into it, and like with hardware development and everything, but then and we did it with a combination of institutional and non-accredited investors with like Kickstarter kind of thing. And then we found like this was not feasible with the technology of the time. Like, I mean, it's still not possible technologically, but we had to like do R&D to find this out. And so what we did at the point of this was we did not have to, like it was not legally required, but morally I felt that like we should pay back the non-accredited investors, which is like, so I went to our like institutional investors and I said, we still have some money in the bank here. Let's go back and pay the moms and pops that gave us money. And so we did. And like the institutional investors took a hit on their taxes because they're happy to take a write off. And they did. And like everybody that put like $5, $10, $100, whatever dollars got their money back. And not everybody does that. Not everybody can. But we did that.
Why do you think Kevin got a bit of flack? Because I'll see you later, Kurt. It wasn't exactly my cup of tea. I was really thinking about it, but the money pours in at the beginning of the month, and then the money pours out during the month, and I'm investing in other things. But I had no problem with what Kevin was doing. Why do you think some people were having a real go at him a little bit?
I mean, I think Kevin gets that type of stuff pretty frequently. I don't envy him there. I think with this specifically, people probably just aren't really familiar with how like a pre-sale works and how like, you know, it wasn't really pitched as a Kickstarter, the pre-sale thought process. I can understand how people like went to the presentations and like didn't see anything. I think I talked to Kevin like kind of like leading up to it. I was like, are you going to show anything? Like, how are we, you know, I think we specifically had a conversation like, let's make sure that they know it's a pre-sale rather than like, oh, here's the product, you know, launch. But I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I think the goal was certainly achieved. But I think with Kevin's ecosystem that he's built and his community that he's built, the pre-sale was literally not for everyone. Like it wasn't meant to like get everybody that's going to use that. It was meant for the people that believe in Digital Gravy and Kevin to produce the thing. And I think it's just one of those situations where it's like, if you measure it like, oh, did Etch get, you know, a million users that day in those couple of days? No. Will it one day have a million users? Maybe. But it got the people that it was the early adopters. Like it's that at the damn chart, right? Where it's like the early adopters are just like such a small amount of the people that are actually going to be using the product. So I don't know. I think it was a successful pre-sale. And as far as the flack goes, I think you're always going to have people. You're always going to have people that are mad at you.
Negativity in a certain, you know, part of the WordPress community, isn't there? Kind of in, I don't know. But there you are.
The other criticism, there were two main criticisms, right? The second main criticism was the idea of doing these live streams where it's like, if people kept putting out the objective.
Oh, I thought it was a fantastic concept. I thought you did fantastic there.
Yeah. Well, why don't you put all the details out and we'll just read the details and stuff. And like it breaks my brain because I'm like, aren't you people in, don't you have agencies? Aren't you freelancers? Do you think it's a good, have you never sold a project of any kind whatsoever? Do you think you should put a proposal together and just email it over to the CEO? This is not how sales works, right? You should probably, you know, pay me more money, join the inner circle first, go do the sales trainings and learn, because you're doing something wrong. If you don't understand that a complex project with all of these details and this price, you have to get people on a call. You have to have a conversation. You have to take questions. You have to know what the objections are and work to overcome them. Those happen on calls, right? If you're going to be a successful agency or freelancer, you should already know this. You get with people face to face and you discuss the project. You don't just email over the details and then let them, you know, do whatever, that scan them, not really consider them all that much, and just move on with their life. That's not going to be a successful approach. And I would expect that anybody who considers themselves to be an agency,
you was persuaded, and
already knows that this shouldn't be the objection. That was one of the most ridiculous objections that I heard throughout the entire campaign.
I do agree with you there. I'm such a cynical British bastard, but you always sold it to me, Kevin. You know, you were superb, I got to admit. On to the last story. I'm going to drop. I've got to discuss this. Hopefully the panel can stay on for this one, because it's been a kind of theme, this guy. He's provided me enormous supply of sarcasm. It's Adam Newman. Heather, how does he do it, Adam, him and his wife? You know, they... How does he get accredited investors, some of the most sophisticated investors, private equity and venture capital, to keep backing him? In my opinion, he's one of the biggest drifters ever seen in this area.
You have to remember that he's very charismatic, which goes for a lot. Like, I mean, that wins people over immediately. I mean, it's the P.T. Barnum effect. Like, I mean, if you are there...
In my opinion, he's pure drifter.
No, but he's got a lot of money, too. So when he's...
Well, not other people's money. Yeah, that's
for sure. No. I mean, he has a lot of money of his own.
Oh, right.
And he actually did have a lot of money of his own to start. So when he's got a lot of money that he's willing to put in to start, then other people will pile onto that, plus the charisma. And he is extremely intelligent, and he came from a kibbutz in the first
place. Have you actually ever met him?
I have met him in the past. He's like, I mean, he's one of those, like, you are instantly drawn to him. He's extremely intelligent, thinks on his feet. Like, he will make you believe that, like, he will find a way to get himself out of any situation, which is exactly what you want in a leader.
So what do you reckon, Spencer? You know, I suppose Heather's explained it, really. I just don't understand how they keep falling for this guy's nonsense.
Oh, it's so obvious, though. Let's go through it. First of all, this is Andreessen Horowitz, who controls huge swaths of other people's money plus their own. And even back in the day when I got my toes dipped into the water of Ning and that social network stuff, that was backed with $100 million of Andreessen's money that came from LoudCloud, a failed REST API storage solution that he repurposed and resold. So why is this relevant to what Heather said? So this Adam Newman is the ultimate grifter, because the circles he runs in, it's just like P. Diddy. Everybody knows what's going on in the baby oil closet, and yet they all think, I'm going to Diddy's party.
You must well bring up Mark Robinson there, that maniac.
Let me get my metaphors out. You're killing the entertainment value of the satire. So everybody used to ask, is it possible there could be a conspiracy amongst entertainment people or recording people or between the producers in Hollywood or between money people? now we see these things unwinding in public because we know there's 20 years of a dude like Diddy doing what he's allegedly doing. At the same time, you look at people like Andreessen Horowitz and all of the people with money, and the way they think and talk and interact has nothing to do with what normal people going to Walmart or Costco think about or do. Everything that happens there is, as Heather exemplified, who's the dude that's so freaking crazy that it's like betting on a horse that broke all of its legs and it's 1,000 to 1. Oh, that Newman guy. He took $5 billion off the Japanese venture capitalist and got an apology for it while him and his wife skated off into the sunset free as a bird. 100%, that's the guy that these lunatics party they want to go to. I hear there's going to be baby oil.
I interviewed last year the CEO of Meetup. I've got his name though, I apologize. Really nice guy. And I had a chat after the show with him, and he worked for Newman, and he said that he was the most craziest fucked up bastard.
Who are we talking about now? We're talking about a dude who lost billions of dollars and tanked most people's lives and careers. And we're talking about him because the Horowitz, Andreessen Horowitz, was smart enough to realize we're going to talk about this guy because he's an attention getter. And that's going to bring money and other things to what they're doing.
Yes.
That's the whole game. That's been the game forever of politics and government and people. But like, we're starting
to sell books. He gets seats. He gets money in the door.
Yeah, it's like, Kathy, I understand what Heather and Spencer are saying, but I think it's also something to do with the American psyche. In a way, you know it. You kind of culture, you like these types, like the charismatic drifter type. Do you think there's anything in what I've said? No, you don't.
I guess I've been out of the Adam Newman loop for a while.
You want to be thankful.
Brought up the article that you, he did get me with Aztec themed hot chocolate ceremony. I'll be honest about that. It seems great. But yeah, I don't know anything else. I don't know anything else about Adam Newman.
All right, fair enough. So, Mark, any comment before we wrap up this dustbin of the show?
This guy seems awesome, and I've, like Kevin, never heard of him. So maybe I should educate myself.
You really want to do. He's managed to get a lot of money out of a lot of people. God knows how. But I did have this chat with, he was the second in charge. I wish I could remember. And he said he is pure nightmare. I mean, absolute maniac. He makes Matt look totally plausible.
Well, just compare, you've got a Mark Zuckerberg who's stable, who's grilling in the backyard with his big sweet baby Rays. And then you've got Adam Newman who the heck knows what he's going to do. Who would you rather party with? Who would you rather be in a company with? Mark Zuckerberg, boring ass shitty.
I'm so English. I'm old. I'm English. I don't get this ever. I'm sorry.
I don't want to work for either.
I attracted like shits and fly, and I've learned my lesson. I run now. I attract them
I'm telling you from investor hat, investor perspective, if you have Mark Zuckerberg and Adam Newman in a room, it's Adam Newman 100% every time.
All right. So, Kevin, how can people find out more about you? What are you up to, Kevin? You've survived.
It's right down there. Right there. Eerie.co.
All right. Mark, the Robin to your Batman.
Yeah. Robins to a lot of people. Yeah. Yeah. Mark Szymanski, YouTube, agency stuff, all that jazz. You just go to mjs.bio. You can see all my links and everything there. Appreciate you guys having me on. Thank you so much.
Spencer Forum. How can people find?
Gotta have the Gen Z on the show to represent. You know what I'm saying?
I just want to remind everybody that all the opinions expressed today were not mine. They were forced upon me by Jonathan Denwood for 30 cents of legal fees. You can find me at SpencerForeman.com for my non-contrarian opinions, WP Launchify for all my business stuff. And I, for one, would recommend to everybody to just be excellent to one another, because that's really all we got in a capitalistic world. I mean, this is where it's going down with AI. If you're not a real person being really nice to a certain group of people,
I'm English. You know, heaven knows.
Robots are coming for you already.
Heaven knows. She's lived in England. She knows the type I am. So, how can people find out more about you and what you're up to, Heather?
Hey, you can find me at Heatheriel everywhere online and thedifferenceconsulting.com.
And I hope you've enjoyed this show. Where else in the WordPress space would you get a conversation like this? Probably nowhere else. Nobody be crazy enough to do a show like this. I've made a lot of friends during this show. I just don't care, listeners and viewers. There we go. We'll see you soon, folks. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening. We really do appreciate it. Why not visit the Mastermind Facebook group? And also, to keep up with the latest news, click wp-tonic.com/newsletter. We'll see you next time.